There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
The key to staying happy is to be with the person who makes you feel like yourself.
It's about truth, it's about information, it's about awesomeness.
Let's find a cat, torture it, set fire to it, and fuck it.
Okay, okay, I'm going to bring up our special guest. He is a comedian from right here in New York City, Jimmy Faia.
Look at this. Look at this. We're back on the air. Here we go, the Off the Meter radio program. Coming to you live from New York City. Jimmy Faia here in the building, reunited on the show today with Pat Dixon, the man who led Off the Meter in appearances last year.
Oh.
But wait, there's more. Katie Dolan back in the building.
I'm back.
From a Caribbean cruise.
Yeah.
This is an embarrassment of radio riches today. And if you'd like to be a part of it, you can call us toll-free at 855-236-2280. Big day on the show. The Pope's cursing in Mass. That's exciting.
That is exciting.
That is. You know how many people sleep through a sermon in church?
Mm-hmm.
I think it should almost be required.
Was he cursing in Latin?
He was cursing in Italian.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get into that in a little while. Pope, he did not stick the landing.
Yeah.
He was giving a blessing. It almost sounded like he was telling somebody off. I support it. We'll get into it in a little while. We're going to war. Russia and China have kind of gotten together.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to take out the good old U.S. of A. We'll talk about that. And at the end of the day, if everybody behaves, Pat Dixon and myself, we're going to give you guys a good old-fashioned lesson on what constitutes real racism.
Excellent.
Because there's a big... I know. That sound you hear is us hemorrhaging sponsors right now. But no, there's a big controversy over a Chelsea Handler tweet.
Mm-hmm.
That is at least an $85 cab ride from racism.
Yeah.
But they're hammering this woman, besieging this woman, with a comment she made about 12 years a slave.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll get into here in a little while. 855-236-2280, the toll-free number. I should also remind you that this episode of Off the Meter and every episode sponsored by the good folks at Audible.com.
Mm-hmm.
Get a free 30-day membership to Audible as well as a free audiobook by logging on to audibletrial.com/offthemeter. Joining me now in studio, as he did quite a bit last year, it's his maiden voyage this year, since we switched studios, the great Pat Dixon. How you doing, man?
Hey, good. I had no idea that I was your main guest last year.
That, neither did we.
That explains so much about the ratings.
Yeah,
no, the new studio, the move, everything.
Hey, we're back in our new studio. Yes, this is your first appearance of 2014.
Love it.
Because our old studio, which looks a lot like this one, was experiencing like a roof issue. We're on the same. This property is owned by the same people.
Oh, okay.
They have temporarily relocated us, but we're in the middle of heated talks to move to the Empire State Building.
Can't wait.
Don't you think we should?
Iconic 60th New York
floor.
City.
Yes.
Couldn't be better.
Because you look at the building and you think, oh, that's where Off the Meter happens.
Yes. I mean, yeah. And then you could come out with it. Wouldn't be like, situated among some very famous buildings. In the building.
And I think it's better for the guests because most people leave here wanting to jump off a tall building.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
Now they have options.
Yeah.
Also returning to the show today. This is not done in any order of preference because these are, in my eyes, the twin towers of radio. Tower 1 and Tower 2. Katie Dolan is back from the Caribbean. Let's get one of those. How you doing, champ?
I'm doing very well.
You do look refreshed. Our producer, Ken Wood, said you look a little spunky.
Yeah, he said.
You have a little Jamaican in you. You know when you go to, like, you were in Jamaica at one point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was.
Did you adopt that local vibe?
Kind of.
Like that low, you look like Jack Johnson.
It rubs off on
you. Are you barefoot?
I look like
I got Jack Johnson in this studio.
There might still be some resin in her lungs, yeah.
Do they do drugs in Jamaica? They do?
I heard.
I mean, that's a rumor.
When I was in Jamaica, I literally was offered weed from, like, you know when they say everybody? Like, customs agents.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? They're like, you know why I stopped you? Why? Because you're not smoking.
Yeah.
Here you go, sir.
You came back with braids. Your hair is 2 inches long.
But everybody, my brother had a great joke because it's like as we were leaving Jamaica, he was laughing because he's like, look out the window. There's a guy jogging alongside the plane offering us weed because it was like so relentless. How was your trip, pal?
It was so fun. It exceeded my expectations and I had zero expectations.
But you want to, more importantly, your friends, that's funny, but your friends behaved because you don't have any stress on your face.
Yeah.
I've taken trips with the friends that don't behave.
Oh, yeah. They'll kill you, man.
They nuke everybody's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're irresponsible with the sleep, irresponsible with the law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
it's funny if you're one of them people, but if you're not one of those people, it's unbearable. It's like showing up to a party where everyone's drunk but you.
Oh, yeah, man. You know you're going to go to jail. This, you know, you're having to babysit the whole time. You have to, like, get everybody out of trouble. They need money.
But not you. You had a good trip.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Everyone's drunk all the time on a cruise ship, which was one of the things I didn't know.
Well, that's the nice thing about cruising Coastal Concordia. Even the captain's drunk. He'll slam right into the rocks for you. He takes care of you. But you had a good time. What was the highlight? Explain this cruise to Pat and myself.
Do you know who Jonathan Colton is?
No.
Shout out to Jonathan Colton.
He's
like king of the nerds. He's a musician, and he writes songs about the internet, and video gaming and stuff.
So
he's king of the nerds.
Okay.
So he's king of the nerds, but he's king of the, like, artistic cool nerds.
Cool nerds.
Yeah. Okay.
Those who run the internet go on this cruise ship.
Okay. So let me ask you this, then. Would you characterize this crowd as kind of like the cool clique of the internet?
Yes.
They are? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm following it. Continue.
Yeah, Paul F. Tompkins was on the boat.
Funny
I called
comment.
Him Tom on accident. John Hodgman was there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Colin Storm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really great.
It sounds amazing.
And John Hodgman,
amazing.
Of course, yeah, from The Daily Show, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He's the one who played the PC in the PC Mac commercials.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the ultimate nerd.
These are real nerds with real nerd credentials.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that, and not a derogatory. You know how, like, nerds kind of run the world right now?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the shtick. They've made a run. The nerds have made a run.
Was Bugger there?
No. Lamar was my favorite nerd in Revenge of the Nerds.
I
love
Lamar.
I
like the one that made all the noises, you know, like the car noises, the explosion. Oh, wait, that was Police Academy.
same movie, same template, same people, except Steve Guttenberg didn't get in. No, but you were basically at the Oscars for nerds.
Totally.
In a good way.
In the best way.
We don't say that. You hear my accent and assume that we're going to say something derogatory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one hears my accent. Everyone just waits around for me to say fag or the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not.
And they don't have to wait long, usually. That's the best part. But it sounds like you're trying to meet a husband or something.
No.
Oh,
no.
Not Katie.
There's a lot of money on that boat.
I don't know. I wouldn't. No.
Katie?
Me and a nerd would never work.
You and a nerd wouldn't work? How about someone who was really good friends with a nerd? How about, like, all right, let's say
I just
you're
don't
not
see
a,
me in marriage let's, working.
Let's say you're not a nerd.
Okay.
But you're, like, a musical person.
Yeah.
Oh, there are a lot of. That's kind of friendly with nerds.
Yeah, there are a lot of musicians on the boat.
That's what I'm saying. Could that work on any level?
Yeah.
See, there you go,
but
Pat Dixon.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not.
You see how we do this, Pat Dixon?
Right. Not a husband. Just she's looking for a good time.
No,
not
and
a long
you
time.
Don't know. You don't know where a good time can lead.
Yeah.
I sweet talked my wife out of a Cleveland comedy club. Look where I am, pal. 37 years later, no health insurance, Old Navy charge card.
Mm-hmm.
Things aren't looking up, but it was a good time.
Ceiling's literally caving in.
But it all started. It all started in the name of a good time. You know what I'm saying, Katie Dolan?
Yep.
So there's that. Good to see you, champ.
Good to see
what was
you.
The highlight? What's the highlight on a nerd cruise?
The highlight really was getting off the boat.
Oh, really?
Because it was kind of going on too long by that last day. I was ready to be out of there.
Way to sell it.
Katie's remarks brought to you by Liberty Travel. We have a spokesperson for Liberty Travel on the line.
And this time, and this time no neurovirus.
Yeah,
no,
that's true.
But everyone was silently thinking, when is neurovirus going to break out?
They were waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah,
like, how do you feel about that?
Because
that is like a floating horror movie.
Me as, like, a germ freak.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, a Richard Lewis germ freak or anything, but I'm up there. They try to assuage everyone's fears by having Purell stands every 2 feet.
But they don't Purell the food.
No.
Which I think is the issue, right? Because isn't that how the last one broke out?
You know, I really don't know, but I know that there was a lot of diarrhea. I mean, there was
the
a
SS,
lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The SS what?
The SS diarrhea.
Yeah,
that one.
The only people that lose weight
I was
on
aboard
a cruise.
The SS White Guilt, really, was what it felt like.
Going
to all these third world countries and...
Is there anything more jarring than a vacation in a third world country? If you're a halfway decent person, it's very hard to enjoy.
No, yeah, totally. It was hard for me to enjoy.
I went to Jamaica. I went to hedonism in Jamaica with my brother Mike, stuntman Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped off the cliff at Rick's Cafe.
You went to hedonism?
Yeah, I was a young kid. And what happened was my brother and I were down at the Taj Mahal, and we ran into a good run at the Taj Mahal. We were playing blackjack, and just fate smiled upon us. We walked out of the Taj Mahal with like $28,000. I lived at home. I didn't have a lot of money. But
the whole thing with no pants on. It's great. Hedonism, blackjack.
No. At the Taj Mahal.
Oh.
So what happened to us is we ran to Liberty Travel. And we're like, hey, we got some money. We want to go on a trip, like, you know, two dudes. You know, where do we go? And the woman was like, oh, no, you have to go to hedonism. You'll be getting laid at the baggage claim. You're
going
to be beating them off of you. Like, you get laid on the plane. It's not going to stop.
Right.
Rest up for hedonism, because there's that much sex coming your way.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I shelled out like $6,800 of our winnings, money we don't have. You know, we don't have it. We don't come from money. And we get on the plane to hedonism, mm-hmm. and the first thing we see when we get to our room, we rip open the curtains, and there's a man who has his penis in a sleeve, in an elastic sleeve that keeps it erect at all times. And he's literally standing in front of our mirror, in front of our window, staring at us, like apparently he thought it was somebody else's his room, and that was a metaphor for the whole trip. It was a guy in a penis sleeve, and every 475-pound woman they could airlift into Jamaica. Like, I would have gotten laid if I knew how to drive a flatbed. It was just pig beyond pig. It was, nothing was good looking. And what? She told us it was going to be amazing.
But, you know, that's what you like. What are you talking about? That's your style.
I agree with that.
That's like you like the ones where you don't even know, wait, where are her legs exactly? I'm getting some friction here.
Nobody likes a Charlie Brown Christmas tree like Big Game James. You know what I'm saying? No, they were not good. They were not good at hedonism. We were lied to. And no, we were sold something else, and it didn't mm-hmm. happen. But that was my experience mm-hmm. on the way to hedonism.
Mm-hmm.
You're in this bus, Pat, and it's not like when you go to a nice tropical place, they put you in like a taxi that's actually the back of a pickup truck. You sit on a bench,
mm-hmm.
but you're safe. When you go to Jamaica, you're on like a bus that's locked up for your protection because it's Black Hawk down. They're waiting for the bus to break down so they can cannibalize you.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving past 2 hours worth of loincloths. People eating burning dogs on the side of the road. It's bad. It's,
wow.
It's bad.
I had
then,
no idea.
Yes, and then you get to the resort, and they put like a lay over your neck, like everything's fine.
Yeah.
Like, but it's not fine.
It's not fine.
It was hardcore, right?
Well, when you get off the boat, it is like Disneyland. It's, yeah, and then you go just 10 feet beyond the gate, and all hell breaks loose. Like, you're inside. Once you get off the boat, I saw a guy in a pirate costume, like, dancing, and then you get off the boat, and people are, like, grabbing you, trying to braid your hair and sell you leather sandals
yes.
for like $50 American.
Pat, it's so fucking good.
It's
like Disney World, Gary, Indiana.
Yeah. It's something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, this one, instead of having Fantasyland, they have Calcutta Land.
Fantasyland is like, a meal.
Depraved. Like, it was bad. For when I went to Jamaica, like, I was at their resort. It took at least 15 minutes to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, now it was all naked, fat people. If they were good-looking girls, I would have got over it faster, but it did. It was jarring.
Mm.
But you're back, and I want to say this. It's great to have you back. We were lost without you last week.
Mm,
you're the I mean that in a nice way. You're the offensive line of the show.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You don't get enough glamour, but you really do hold things together.
Cool.
So for that, Katie Dolan, a double applause break.
It also means that the passing game breaks down. It's your fault.
It does. It's your fault. I'm just saying that so we can blame the show on you if it doesn't pick up soon. Now, this is the true measure of a good vacation,
mm-hmm.
a good cruise, mm-hmm. a good vacation where booze is involved.
Mm-hmm.
How many photos have you deleted from your phone?
A lot.
Or a lot. A good amount. Well, maybe the better question is this.
Because
mm-hmm. you can tell what type of living you've been doing. Based on how willing you are to chase someone if they were to steal your phone.
Mm-hmm.
If someone were to steal your phone right now, are you an Olympic sprinter that stops at nothing to get it back, or could you let it go?
Yeah, I'm... Oh, no one's getting my phone.
People have to die. Oh, that's so... If someone stole my phone, my first reaction is to slit my throat. My second reaction is to just run after them, maybe give it a shot and stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually not
good.
Get
a cyanide pill that you can, like...
I've got the Hitler vial around my neck.
Yeah.
Me and Jenny... It wouldn't be my phone. That would be my computer.
Mm-hmm.
My computer's a problem.
You know, you've heard of iCloud, right?
Yeah.
And so all your devices can talk to each other.
Yeah.
That's what they say. First of all, I don't appreciate the guy putting it that way, you know, putting it like in a kid's terms.
Yeah.
You know, so your device is going to, you know, talk to each other. Like,
yeah.
Oh, thank you. But you know what? I really don't want my devices talking to each other. There's stuff going on with my laptop. My phone doesn't need to know about.
I ripped the larynx out of my laptop. My Siri has no larynx. Ripped it out of her face.
Like shut it.
Shut up, bitch.
But man, an iPad, you can make great porn with an iPad.
With an iPad,
yes.
Hold it up, use the imagery.
I mean, you can really do well. You can do good.
Is that true?
It's so portable.
It's HD, and you just it's so portable. You can stick it up. You can hold it up. You can do all sorts of things with it. Yeah, and you can throw it into some iMovie. You put in some funny sound effects.
Mm-hmm. It's a blooper reel.
Yeah.
That's funny stuff.
So you got a lot of yucky stuff on your phone? A lot of interesting?
To be honest with you, my phone is fine. This is the saddest thing I've ever heard. The laptop I wrote my book on, it was a MacBook Air, died. I spilled water on it before it ever saw pornography.
Oh, really? Oh,
is that the saddest thing you've ever heard?
What a waste of potential.
It died a year in. It died. It was buried without ever witnessing pornography.
Mm-hmm. How did you have it a year and never type in any porn?
Is that it? Well, I had it in my head. I'm like, I don't want to nuke this computer because I'm using it. So I'm not going to mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it died. But the computer I replaced it with for that reason, I was like, you have an obligation to the other laptop.
Is that this burning one that's sitting right here?
You see this laptop here with the lesions on the screen? This laptop, every time I open it up, it plays the theme from Philadelphia. it's losing weight. It looks like Dallas Buyers Club Mac. I got the iMac Dallas Buyers Club. It just keeps losing weight. But yes, this thing is partying like it's 1999.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's been some good times.
Yeah, you need some cream.
Yeah, no, it's bad. I'm not proud. Mm. So the answer to the question is you had a good trip.
Yeah, it was a good trip.
Because you couldn't lose that phone.
Well, I'd actually be worried if someone saw how many pictures of Paul McCartney I have on my phone is really the thing.
That's the other. She's a big Beatle girl. Mm. Those are the other embarrassments.
That's why my phone doesn't work. It's because I have so many pictures.
You have that many Paul photos?
Yeah.
You are the person. If he, like, the poor guy turned up dead, you'd be a suspect.
That's why I'm worried. No one can ever get a hold of my phone.
Katie Dolan, the Rupert Pupkin of the Beatles. Yeah. You're going to Rupert Pupkin your way into the next Beatle reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Let me sing with Ringo, or this guy gets it. Sandra Bernhardt's got him tied up in a hotel. Well, it's good to see you both.
Yeah.
In a weird way, this is a nice reunion of sorts for me, to see everybody back, getting the band back together.
Good to see you, Jimmy.
You know what, man? I'm all right. I'm good for morale. Someone told me that last week. Nia James.
You are good.
She's like, you know what, man? You're always positive. She was talking about my blood test. But no, I'm kidding. Boo, come on. It's early in the show. First show of the week, folks. I'm going to come in here sharp. No, but she said, she's like, yeah, you were always positive. I realized something. I am positive. I'm going to give myself a little credit for that. I'm pretty upbeat dude. And we're going to try to keep that momentum as we head into the news now. Because World War III is about to break out. And the Pope is cursing at people.
Yay.
When we come back right here on the Big Bad One and Only Off the Media Radio program.
I was a fiend before I became a teen. I melted microphones instead of cones of ice cream. Music orientated, so when hip hop was originated,
with Jimmy Fallon,
it's a big fat, big pitted hit.
Do you enjoy having a few drinks from time to time? Do you sometimes keep drinking even though the people around you tell you you've had enough?
I'm fine. Don't touch me.
Have you ever woken up pantsless in an unfamiliar stairwell? Have you ever been thrown out of a bar at 3 in the afternoon? Has the camera on your cell phone ever led to a restraining order? Have you ever punched a police horse in the face? If so, then Morning Miracle may be right for you. With 5 essential electrolytes and no added sugar, it's the natural way to keep hangovers at bay. Dealing with last night's going to be tough enough without a level 6 headache and the perpetual urge to vomit. So get Morning Miracle and a damn good attorney.
New York City, the Off the Media Radio program. Jimmy Fallon, Pat Dixon, Katie Dolan in the building. 855-236-2280, toll-free number for the show. Should remind everybody, log on to Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, IndieBound.org. You can pre-order my new book, Follow That Car. It actually ships from Amazon tomorrow. I have to pretty much leave the country. The party's over, Pat Dixon.
Mm.
But that's going on. We turned in the audiobook today to Audible. With the help of Dean Imperial and Grammy Award winner Lance Neal.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my part on that I was promised?
You have so much action.
Come on, man.
You have no idea.
I need that $40.
If this thing...
for reading half this book.
If anything works, we're going to have so much action.
Can I bend the voice of the dog or something?
Are you familiar with hedonism too?
Let's do it. I got my sleeve.
We're going to have a big gay time, as they say. We're going to have a good time. If you're just joining us, Pat Dixon's in studio for the full hour, his triumphant return, his 2014 debut.
Thank God I'm back.
It's weird. It's been weird without you because I have to say this too. There's a very good percentage of this audience that is very pro-Pat Dixon because they listen to the New York City Crime Report.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Yeah.
So there are a lot of people that will ask me, like, when's Pat back on the show?
Yeah, well.
That goes on.
Talking about crimes, you know? I mean, talking about the everything that's happened in New York City.
That's what I'm saying. And it's a high crime time report. To host a show about a crime report because Bill de Blasio's the mayor.
He is the mayor.
And we've kind of given up.
We're a little race baiting, and here we are. Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to do some race baiting, shrink the police force, and let you guys have at it.
By the way, no more stopping people. That's old news.
No, we don't want that going on.
We don't want to police the high crime areas anymore. So, the murder rate's up 33%.
That was so last administration.
Yeah.
The man fleeing a shooting wearing a Vancouver Canucks jersey with a gold chain and an Uzi. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to stop a guy fleeing a shooting wearing a Vancouver Canucks jersey, a gold chain. No, that would be profiling.
That would be profiling. It would be racist. And you know what? Our children deserve better than that. Frankly, they do. Now, you know what his big plan is? He comes in and he's like, we're going to stop stop and frisk. No more of that. No more. But we need to stop traffic deaths. He wants to stop all traffic deaths. And the name of his program, Vision Zero.
I know.
I mean, come on. Vision's zero vision.
Why don't just call it text and drive? This is my vehicular safety plan.
It's a very simple plan. Just 63 points. That's all. A 63-point plan. They want the cabs to, like, shut off if they go above a certain
They
want to
black box the cabs.
Why don't they just make the cab out of the same stuff they make the black box out of? That's the obvious.
That's every comic.
It's going to read the black box is there to in case there's an accident. God forbid a taxi driver should be involved in an accident or a fatality.
Yeah.
And so it'll give all the information on the accident. As if the cab drivers need more reason to leave the scene of an accident.
Yeah.
We have this reviewed. Well, we checked the black box. Turns out there's some kind of mental defective immigrant driving the car. How could we have known?
It is the funniest thing, though. It's like the cabs kill 3 people a year.
Mm.
3.
Oh, yeah.
That's a number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kill 3 people a year. Okay, which that puts them in, like, the lower 1 percentile of cars, of any type of vehicle on the road.
Hmm.
But we're policing the cabs instead of the guns.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've stopped, stop, and frisk. Guns. Guns kill a lot of people in America.
I noticed that.
They outkill the cabs.
Yeah.
They outkill the cabs.
Somehow they managed at more than 3.
I don't have numbers, but I'm going to guess that guns exceed the 3 fatality total the cabbies are putting up. If we were looking at the back of the baseball cards, I would say guns have them.
You know, the speed limit in the city, 30 miles an hour. They want to take it to 25.
Yeah, okay.
There's this other group that wants to take it to 20.
Yeah.
At that point, why have cars? Yeah. I can walk 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. So who is greasing de Blasio? The pedicab lobby?
Yeah.
who's behind this?
I don't know,
because he's kicking out, he's killing the cabs, he's kicking out the carriage horses.
It's the bike lanes.
It's all pedicabs and bike lanes. We're going to be riding around on rickshaws.
Yeah.
The rickshaws are going too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we got to calm down the rickshaws. And Williamsburg leading the charge. They say, bring Vision Zero to us first, please. Because, you know, Williamsburg had more traffic deaths than anybody last year. And I don't know what your response to that. Mine was, good. It's like a lot of hipsters down there. And
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
No, why not? You know,
that's addition by subtraction.
Yeah. I agree. Vision Zero.
How about that? How about you tell the cabbies, you put a box in there that tells them where the Mumford & Sons fans are.
Yeah, sure.
You have a ukulele-seeking missile. We don't need any more ukuleles. It's
you
no
see
offense
a handlebar
to any of
mustache
you.
And a newsie cap.
Yes.
That's the guy.
We're overcrowded at your position. It's not even a derogatory thought towards these people.
No offense.
It's just that we're filled. We're filled at that position.
Nothing personal. We can't use you this year.
Not accepting resumes for bearded ukulele.
Hipster, you know? Zero.
And if you're eating expensive mac and cheese, you got to go.
That's the worst.
The people eating $28 mac and cheese are what's ruined this city.
This whole place is only mac and cheese. It's so great.
No, that's a bad song. No, that's terrible. No, you're right. No, can't go on.
It's the worst.
And offensive macaroni and cheese, I consider the biggest offenders in terms of ruining this city. People blame gentrification, according to tourist dollar, the bike
lanes. Macaroni and cheese.
It's expensive mac and cheese. Followed by expensive Mexican, because the thing about expensive Mexican is, It's hard to justify a $35 burrito knowing it's not that much better than a $3 or $4 burrito. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The best burrito you ever have is the one you have after like 18 beers that's been frozen in your refrigerator that you forgot about.
So true.
Burritos are supposed to come with reservations.
Yes.
But I don't mean dinner reservations. I mean reservations. Like, what is my day looking like for the next 16 hours? Is this a good idea?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to come with garnish.
No.
It's not supposed to come with live music
truffle
in the back.
Oil.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And if you're brewing a craft beer right now, I hope you contract airborne ass cancer and
have
die painfully.
The grilled cheese, it's all they have the finest cheeses.
It's Gruyere. Yeah. It's a $700 cheese.
They have 17 breads.
Yes. We have to we rape a goat fetus for this cheese.
It has to be raped.
No, it can't be consensual. No, it can't be. That's the thing. They're like so liberal in PC, but the source material, like, you know, when they get like the poop for the coffee beans, the source material is always very questionable.
Yeah.
And would jibe with the average standards and practices of most well-meaning Americans.
Well, yeah, it's not good unless you have to step outside of your comfort zone a little bit.
A little bit.
You know, to believe that it's going to be what it says.
This coffee. This coffee is from duck droppings. And the duck grew up in an abusive house. Like, oh my God, that'll be $68.50 a cup. I have to have it.
Oh,
it's something there's a profile right away. You know what the worst one is? The expensive burger. You know, once a year somebody puts out a $278 burger
yes.
and gets the cover of the
gold leaf bacon.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
It's been massaged by a lot of Asians. There's a Bukkake film involved.
It's made out of Pope meat. It's a dead Pope. There's always some real ridiculous pretentious.
It was made of Pope meat.
Yes,
killed in a snuff film.
Hey, nobody has
snuff
seen Benedict
Pope
lately.
Burger.
Yeah, nobody's seen Benedict. Nobody knows who the man is. Pretension. That's what's ruining this goddamn city.
Yes.
People blame the Knicks. It's not the Knicks.
It's
the Knicks
the
were
Knicks.
Bad when this city was good.
That's right.
The Knicks are a unifying factor. Between eras of they've been bad for all of it. The Knicks haven't won a playoff series. Last year they won a playoff series against the Celtics. It does not count. The Celtics, if you saw last year's Celtics, they were extras in Cocoon 2. It was just old people. It was dying.
The Jets beat the Patriots every once in a while.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Knicks beating us, it means nothing. The Knicks have not won a consecutive playoff series since the Clinton administration.
Mm.
And I'm not talking the Clinton Secretary of State administration. I'm talking the other Clinton. You know the guy that banged the intern?
Yeah, the guy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Were you around? Have we talked since I saw Monica Lewinsky at a comedy show?
What?
Yeah, that went on.
Whoa.
Monica, she was just, all right, listen, we never confirmed that it was her, but someone came over to me and was like, we believe that's Monica Lewinsky.
Okay. What
and
you,
they said they so don't want it. All we know,
make fun of her,
all we know to substantiate this is they said the table, you know, table 48 doesn't want to be picked on. I think it's Monica Lewinsky.
Oh.
And we were like, oh, all right. That's, you know, it's got to be funny to go to a comedy club with Monica Lewinsky. I don't know that it's her. I don't know that it's her. But I do believe she shouldn't be picked on. She should be applauded. She's what's right with this world.
Yeah.
You know, an intern, you know, like a pale, chubby, cute intern, good looking intern. I'm not, you know, denouncing her, degrading her in any way.
Right, right.
Went for it.
Right or wrong, it's the reality.
It's
That's
right.
What happens.
She was right. If you're that girl, you're with the leader of the free world, and you're catching some buying signs, she's got to check him out. You know what I mean? She's got to ring him up.
I agree.
No, she does. Right.
What does she get from turning him down?
The people that are ruining this country, the people that are ruining this town, are the people that aren't trying to have fun. You know what I mean?
Well,
you're trying to have fun, you're on
our
side.
It's an epidemic. It's a whole epidemic.
Yeah. It's so cool not to have fun.
Right.
Because if you're eating a $38 plate of macaroni and cheese, you're not trying to have fun.
No, you're clearly like, you know what you're doing? You're plugging that in place of something else.
Yes.
If you got a mouth hug from your intern that day, you don't need $38 mac and cheese.
A mouth hug.
Oh, my God. It's so intense.
You're compensating. You're sublimating your sexual tensions through your overpriced BS food.
Yeah. It's $41 mac and cheese.
But, oh, gosh, I haven't had an orgasm in 3 months.
This mac and cheese. Oh, the
you ever
fancy
see those
mac
couples that are like, we pick out the best cheese,
yeah,
and we pick it, we go to the market, and we find the best vegetables, we make this
go
meal.
Go to the food co-op.
And we think that maybe we'll have sex at some point. But,
do you ever notice the people waiting, willing to wait the longest for breakfast are the people who don't even enjoy the food? You know what I mean? Like, if you really like food and there's a line around the building
you're not waiting
you
for
go
it.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
Because you need the food.
Yeah.
You need that food.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They don't need it. It's a brand. It's branding that's killing this city,
yeah,
damn it.
Exactly.
It's branding.
I see what you mean. I see what you mean. This is where they got the best biscuit.
Yeah, we
got
to go there.
We got to go to the where. Yeah, it's wherever he says. I read about it in the Village Voice.
My friend with the eating disorder goes there. She says it's amazing. It feels so good in the pipes coming back up.
Like smooth.
Very smooth texture. It's like a biscuit smoothie. It's wonderful. Down or up. Ladies and gentlemen, five biggest news stories of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Network News Hour, starring the mad prophet of the airways,
Ken Wood. Here he is. He's back on the show, everybody. Ken Wood in the building. How you doing, man? Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Happy weekend. Was it a good weekend?
It was passable.
Oh, it's going to sound like I'm bragging, but mine was better than passable. I was at a firehouse in Newark, Delaware. You ever heard of Newark, Delaware?
No, man. Who books that?
Yeah. I'm just going to give you the tourism slogan. Are you ready?
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
It is the most depraved town. Man knows. You know that talk we were talking about with Katie Dolan, the drive to the resort?
Mm-hmm.
It's Newark, Delaware.
Whoa.
Newark, Delaware kind of has some upward mobility. They got a nice mall. If you see a Nordstrom's, that's not a, if you see a Nordstrom's rack, they haven't made it yet. But a Nordstrom, that's promise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Anybody can have a Cheesecake Factory, but if they have a Grand Lux Cafe, they're making a run.
Who's better, Newark, Delaware, or Newark, New Jersey?
Oh, it's not even close. It's not even close. Newark, New Jersey is better than
is
Newark,
better
Delaware.
Than Newark, New Jersey is the carjacking capital of the world.
Right? But they can't afford cars in Newark, Delaware. They don't, okay. It's a totally thing. They have a lot of cattle rustlers and stuff like that.
All right.
Wow, it's the real old West.
No, it really was a hardcore place.
Take a left
place.
At the burning couch.
Hardcore place. Yeah, it's like driving through Detroit. But they were the nicest, coolest people in the world. As much fun as I could have at a comedy show. Mick Thomas was on the show. You know him from the strip?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So Mick Thomas, God bless this guy, because he's a married guy and a faithfully married guy who happens to present really well. That Scottish accent.
Oh, yeah.
We had to get out of the place because of, like, how in demand he was. We left the place.
How's that feel?
Oh,
Fat chick.
Yeah.
Runner up.
We had to extract him.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever heard a story about how the Beatles almost got killed in Panama? Because, like, Noriega had taken over and he had kind of been led to believe the Beatles were going to make an appearance with him, and he was going to get like a good PR shot that was going to make him hip and cool, but no plan had ever been made.
Oh, I see.
And he became very upset. Yeah, a guy, Robert Rodriguez, wrote the book about Revolver, told us that on the show. Hmm. And so like he became upset, and the National Guard had to extract them for their own protection.
Jeez.
That what would have happened to Panama if they had killed the Beatles? If Noriega had the Beatles killed, it would have been the whole world.
Oh my God.
Against Panama.
Yeah.
The Russians would have helped.
Think about that.
I mean, there's, yeah, whatever.
That'd be a huge unifying thing.
That was the worst PR move in the history of the world, killing the Beatles.
Well, they got him out of there.
They got them out
of there. Yeah, but I don't know, because Yoko killed the Beatles. No one's killing her.
Sure. You're right. You make a good point.
There's no world revolt against Yoko Ono.
Yeah, but she did it subtly. She didn't break any laws.
She did.
She did it in that indirect woman
she
way.
She put the vitamins inside the applesauce. Have you ever seen the Let It Be documentary? Katie, have you ever seen that? Pretty hardcore, right? She's just kind of like, you know, it's the Beatles.
Yeah.
And they're all right at what they do, you know? They're making a run. They've kind of made a name for themselves in music. And all of a sudden, like, she shows up and is weighing in. Cut! I'm not kidding. Like, cut. I don't like
really,
that take.
Did that really happen?
On some level. It's not pronounced. It's not as bad as they... Spinal Tap is parodying that. When you see that happen in Spinal Tap,
oh,
he shows
I
up
see.
With his girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's not that pronounced in the Let It Be documentary, but that's, you know, kind of an unstated thing.
Yeah, well, they didn't need the help. You know, that's what it is. It's like, oh, yeah. You know what this group needs?
Yeah.
More Yoko Ono.
We need an Asian Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
To come
more
to kind of weigh in.
More avant-garde art influence.
But, yeah. But to be fair, I mean, if you look at the Beatles at the early stage of their career and the later, they did evolve as musicians. They grew as artists.
No, they evolved as drug addicts.
Okay.
That's what, you know what I mean? They did more drugs and the music went with it is what I would think. But Katie, you're the senior.
She's not going
to
weigh in.
Because this matters
to you. She likes the early stuff.
She's the senior ambassador to the Beatles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? What's your favorite? Like, give me your top three Beatles songs, quick.
Give her a mic, Ken.
That's really hard because we actually had this discussion on the cruise.
Okay.
But I have to say.
Okay.
She's Leaving Home, and Your Bird Can Sing, and... I'm Only Sleeping.
Wrong. The answer is Ticket to Ride, Help, and Hard Day's Night.
Ticket to Ride, Help, and Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
Wow.
We could have this talk.
But I'm just going to say Yoko was a symptom. She wasn't.
Yeah, she was just part
That's
of
all.
It.
That's all I'm saying.
Katie Dolan, our senior correspondent to the Beatles, weighs in. Always nice to have her back on the show.
They're not booing. They're saying, Jew.
Don't be offended, folks. Don't be offended. That is not boo. That's Jew. This is a tasteful program with standards, with etiquette. No, those are very honorable choices. I love She's Leaving Home, though, because you moved away from your home state. Yep. Is there any significance to that? Because what radio listeners like is me talking to someone off mic. I think it's helpful to the show.
But at least you're talking about the Beatles. That's what they come to Off the Meter for. More in-depth, mildly informed Beatles talk.
Do you remember the summer we blew on the child sex doll? We'll take it right back. Let's do the news. Can we do the news, everybody? Let's do the news. Here we go. The Pope is cursing. The Pope is cursing. So this is what really happened, because people are running with this story.
This guy's so progressive, man.
He's going for it. First, he's cool with the gay people. Then
now he's using bad words. What's he going to pull out of his pocket next?
Genius Pope,
by
the way.
He got up that hat.
Someone was explaining this to me the other day. I was in my cab. We were shooting something in a cab, like a promo thing. Mm-hmm. But anytime I get in a cab for a shoot, I selfishly will drive around and pick up passengers for like 3 hours beforehand, because I missed the gig. And some guy was telling me, he goes, "Ow, this Pope is full of shit." He goes, he came out, he said, you know, we got to be nicer to the gay people, we've got to accept the lesbians, we've got to create women a bigger role for women in the church, and everyone crazy, Rolling Stone put him on the cover. He goes, he's not actually doing anything. Like, they're not changing policy or doctrine or doing anything more inclusive. He's just saying things which change the aesthetic of the church.
Talk about the image,
but not
right?
the actions. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
next
thing
you
know, he's going to come out like with a denim shirt, you know, and like you know, a bit called Francis walking or something. You know?
No, he's a great politician.
I like him. I like Francis. I think he's chill. He just he's like, you know what? Let's not be so obsessed with these things. You guys are so obsessed.
Yeah, you need to calm
about.
Down.
Yeah, I got no problem with it.
So what happened was he was giving a blessing in Italian, and they're saying he dropped the F-bomb. But he didn't drop the traditional F-bomb. He said a word that has a double meaning in Italian. There's a word in Italian that can mean case or fuck. I'm not even kidding.
Okay, but what was the context?
Because he was talking about probably...
Case you.
I think, yeah.
Go case yourself.
I think he was using it in the...
That's funny. Case off and dog.
In the profane sense.
What?
The word.
No, I mean, the statement actually is, he was talking about making money. He's like, and if all you do is try to make money... You know, in that case, you
you're
could
totally
be bored.
Cased. You were totally cased.
No, he says in that case. In
when
that
you,
case,
when you have to stand before
translate.
God, you're going to be cased.
The statement
is all you care about is money.
No, the sentence it would end with "in that fuck," which wouldn't be true. But he stopped and caught himself because people laughed because Italian's not his native language, and he realized he had kind of wandered off the reservation.
So do you give him a pass?
Yeah, definitely.
He's the Pope. There's no authority. In the Catholic Church, that can supersede the Pope. They just have to wait
for
him
to die. The Lord would have to come down.
Because he is the pontiff. He is the bridge between humans
but we have
and
a,
God.
This is the first pope to have a backup pope, though. This pope has another pope holding a clipboard with a headset.
He's
like
got
it's
like
the
NFL. Like a Steve DeBerg pope?
Yeah, yeah. When he comes out of mass, there's a backup pope that goes over the defense with him, and they look at the play he ran. Like, you know, like a Tebow.
Yeah, like a Pope Testaverde.
Second string Pope.
I'm going back too far.
I'll talk backup QBs all day because Steve DeBerg really got me going. A Steve Berline. A Jay Schrader. Remember Jay Schrader, Redskin and Raider? Some good backups out there. But yes.
Jim Plunkett,
who won Super Bowls.
Yeah. So these backup popes can come off and do some good work.
Don't underestimate a black
pope. Did they get another, like, a Nazi pope, a second, like, a pope, Nazi too?
That's a good move. Yeah, why didn't that come out with Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer? The Pope Nazi Slayer, or whatever that was called?
That'd be a great idea.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, so what's the big deal about him saying this F-word?
Nothing. It just sounded funny because it was the pope, and people were like, oh, the pope cursed.
So nobody's upset, I hope.
No, they got past it. Good. People laughed. People kind of pardoned him.
Well, I think American conservatives are trying to make hay of this because they...
Right.
They're mad at him for
they
other
don't
things.
Like him because he's kind of a socialist, and they don't like socialists. And they don't like gay people.
Oh, you know who else was a socialist? Jesus.
Jesus was a socialist.
So take that.
And the last thing the church needs is a pope that behaves like Jesus. Yeah. They don't want that. It goes against everything they stand for. Brandon, goddammit.
What would Brandon do?
They need Jesus. They need Jesus. John Travolta trashes Twitter. Quitter.
I thought it wasn't John Travolta, was it?
Yes.
I thought it was
what
that
happened
picture.
Was,
it was the selfie.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. But I want you to know that John Travolta caused an uproar because last night during the Oscars, he mispronounced the name of Idina Menzel, who was singing a song from Frozen. She was supposed to come on and sing a song, and he said Amina Denzel. Or something to that extent.
He said Adele something.
Like Adele, yeah, which is...
He completely got it all. He didn't get it.
Which is totally wrong, because the woman's under 205 pounds. Just, there should be no reason for him to see any resemblance. Shout out to Adele. I love Adele.
Yeah.
She was my person of the year in 2012. Do you remember that?
Yes.
People, like, were outraged. There was fights about that. But she was my person of the year 2012. But let's... Well, I have reasons, let's not get into
fights.
It now.
There were riots in
passionate.
The streets.
People were mad. The pitchfork mob was outside. But
thank God I was not here for that.
So what happened is he blew this. Yeah, he blew the shot on this before the woman sang. And there is some speculation that he was the reason she had such a rushed performance. She got a standing O. But Jenny is intimately familiar with the song. And I noticed, too, that she was rushing the performance. But wouldn't the music dictate the pace of her vocals, Ken? Can you weigh in on that? It would, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be that. So if anything, he screwed up the orchestra. You know what I mean? If anything.
He also killed the story. That song won, right?
What?
That,
yes.
That song won. That was Bobby Lopez wrote that song. He of the Book of Mormon.
There you
he
go.
He of Avenue Q.
There you
finally
go.
Is emerging from the shadow of Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
So he mispronounces a name, and they go, oh, he ruined the whole song.
He ruined the whole show. Are you kidding?
Because that's how bad of an Oscars it was.
I actually really enjoyed the Oscars.
But it was just uneventful, is what I'm saying.
It was very uneventful, but it was...
They needed to make hay.
If you were a fan of Ellen DeGeneres, that was a good show.
Yeah.
If you're not... If you wanted, you know, the...
Yeah.
There wasn't a big production the way you have... But I think most of those big production numbers, you know, they usually miss the mark, and they're usually cringeworthy.
Cringeworthy. Other Oscars controversy. Chelsea Handler. And we're going to get into this for a second. Chelsea Handler gets hit with a few hundred thousand tweets decrying her as a racist, insensitive, and out of touch because after 12 Years a Slave won for Best Picture, she has an album out called Uganda Be Kidding Me. Correct, Katie Dolan, pop culture correspondent? And she tweeted, congratulations to 12 Years a Slave. Go to Africa or buy Uganda Be Kidding Me, which is her album. People latched onto that to say, like, how could she slight Africa, the plight of slavery, and the people who suffered?
She's telling people to go. Get those tourism
dollars.
Go
to Africa or buy my album. How could she compare her album to Africa? I don't know. I don't know the angle. Do you want to know why I don't know the angle? Because there is no angle.
I think
you understand.
Yeah, what she's saying exactly.
People are trying. That's the point. It's a joke that doesn't even work, but she's not guilty of anything. She has an album called Uganda Be Kidding Me. You dig.
Uh-huh.
That is her album. That is her commodity. It was out before this.
Right.
She didn't, like, what I'm trying to say is, this is another example of people trying to crowbar racism and insensitivity into a statement that really didn't show any.
You've worked in comedy clubs enough to know. You don't have to say anything for people to be upset about. You
say
something that sounds like you're saying something.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
Well, that's
people just react. It's like, they can't stand something that sounds like anything.
But is this what Alec Baldwin was talking about, ultimately?
Yes, racism.
Kind of people latch on to things.
Yes.
Find any angle to get angry at.
Well, that's what all us out-of-touch old white dudes say.
Yeah, that's, you know, our defense. That's
like,
our defense.
Nothing was said there. Oh, that's what you all say.
Yeah.
words have a meaning still, don't they?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Somebody actually told me that your meaning, what you meant, you do not get to tell somebody how they should feel.
No.
They felt the way they felt, and what your intention was has no room in the argument.
Ken's in a long-term relationship.
Wow. In interpersonal relationships, yes.
Let's go to Jim J. Bullock for the block.
Yeah, you don't get a vote in that. You have to acknowledge their feelings,
but
even when they don't make sense.
Yes, but that's what I mean, but it's wrong.
But not in this case. If that's in personal stuff. If it's public, then yeah, people have to go by your intent before they damn you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm not happy with the whole you get to tell people what they meant. You know, that's what political correctness has done now. It's like, mm-hmm. You don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say anything. We tell you what you said.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even make sense.
And then they'll say it's so ingrained.
Yeah.
Because white people have had it a certain way for 5,000 years. White people have been calling. Nobody's been alive for more than 100 years.
And I love that this movie is supposed to be so sacred. They're pretending. These people,
They're actors.
They're talking about the sanctity of the you know, slavery and the suffering, and right, we all agree, okay, on the plight of nothing worse than slavery, and it's a terrible thing. We can all agree on that, and that it shouldn't have went on and all of that. But the idea that these actors, who are surrounded by craft services and 9 personal assistants, partook in slavery is a bigger slight to slavery than her tweeting, "Uganda, be kidding me."
Well, it's not a slight to slavery. I mean, it's they are professional actors, highly compensated professional actors portraying. And I think the woman who won Best Supporting Actress, But she did acknowledge that what she was the joy she was experiencing came at somebody else's tremendous suffering 150 years ago. They don't have that music. Usually you save me with the music, Jim.
Yeah, you know, whatever happened to the Jeffersons? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it was all, everybody said everything. It was like, oh, yeah, what was his name?
Carol O'Connor. We need Archie Bunker.
You know, Spike Lee was railing about gentrification over in Fort Greene.
Uh-huh.
The next day, the white neighbors of his parents had spray painted. Somebody had spray painted their house. Do the right thing. What the hell? I mean, can you imagine? Like he's like saying, "You just come in here and gentrify, and you're killing the Native Americans."
Yes.
To say that, can you imagine like saying that the opposite way?
Yeah.
Like, what's with you black people moving into the neighborhood? Rally?
You're allowed to say, "Whitey, get out."
Yes. And gentrification is just code for "we don't like you."
Yeah, and the bigger offense is that they spray painted his house, and it was not free range spray paint. People are very upset in Brooklyn. It wasn't organic spray paint. The people are very upset about that.
A lot of greenhouse gases in that spray paint.
The carbon footprint was of those graffiti artists.
You know, and they don't have to pay for that.
Oh, kill yourself. Going to war, folks. Going to war. Have you noticed a sale? You know, maybe that's the connecting thread to all of this. We overreact to everything. And it's driven us mad. Russia's in Ukraine. The U.S. says they shouldn't be in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Thinking about
everybody says they shouldn't be in Ukraine.
China now picked sides. You know what we've set up here? This is like, you know, the WWF before, like when you were a kid before WrestleMania?
Yeah.
They'd start pairing off. They're going to start getting interviewed by like Mean Gene Okerlund and telling you how bad they're going to beat up the Russians. Russia's going to talk about how bad they're going to beat up us. This is old school.
I think Russia is establishing the new NWO.
Yeah, yeah. The New World Order.
And, you know, it started off with... Who was it? It was just Hulk Hogan initially. Or was it like Scott Hall and Terry?
We're going to lose a lot of people here.
Yeah, true.
The point is Russia.
The point is now they got China. It started out with just Russia. They looked like a rogue nation operating independently of international law. Now they got China.
The problem is that the United States is now like the old Minnesota Wrecking Crew, the Anderson brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
They're aging. We're like Gene Anderson. Remember Gene? But he would never tag in, right? Because he was 60.
We'll get in there.
We're old. And this happened. The Russians invaded Ukraine just as we announced that we're going to slash our military budget by 50% or something like that.
Yeah, and we ended Stop and Frisk. That doesn't help. But, you know, they came in and they were, like, masked and wearing, like, they weren't, no insignia on their uniform, like some kind of black ops stuff.
Well, they were trying to play it off for a little while.
Like, that wasn't us.
In Russia.
But it was great. It was very opportunistic. There was some unrest going on in the Ukraine, and Russia just walks in like they own
a little unrest. Yeah, the president was kicked out of office. And then they had this woman in the wheelchair going, "I'm going to run for office." Yeah, they're like, that's going to happen.
You know, the best part of that whole thing is their president, Ukrainian's president, who's now in exile, had a press conference to say he's still in power.
But you know
who's advising that guy? Karl Rove?
But you know who the leader?
No, you haven't lost the office yet. You haven't lost the office.
Jim, you know who the leader of the opposition in Ukraine is?
Who?
It's Vitali Klitschko.
Is that true?
Yes, he is the leader of the rebellion. He stands to be president. He's actually a PhD, despite being the former heavyweight champion of the world. He is the guy in charge of these.
So Vitali Klitschko would be the president of Ukraine. If Russia gets out of the way,
well, if the rebellion, the uprising, actually took hold, and they put if that party, whatever they are, I don't know if they're a party, they're a movement. If they became a party and took power, then Vitali Klitschko would be the president of Ukraine.
And China, we definitely have to worry about because they've got us so over a barrel that we can't say anything about the guy going in North Korea, Kim Jong Un, that lunatic. He's like making ladies drown their own babies and stuff, and we're like, okay.
Dogs are eating his uncle.
Yeah, we're like, okay, I guess it's
bad spot.
We're supposed to do something normally, right?
China makes our iPhones, and Russia makes our strippers.
And you know what else?
You talk about having a country by the balls.
There's nothing we can do. You know who called this?
Militia.
Though? what's really scary is, you know who called a Russian invasion of Ukraine back in 2008? Obama's indecisiveness and his weak stance militarily is going to lead to a Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Who said
was
that?
Sarah Palin. In the 2008 campaign, the fact that Sarah Palin...
Well, hell, she can see it from her damn doorstep.
She can see it from...
How could she not have called it?
It's obvious.
I thought it was Mitt Romney. Now, he was saying Russia was going to be a big deal. I didn't know Sarah Palin called it.
Sarah Palin... Mitt Romney was saying Russia's scary. He didn't actually call an invasion of Ukraine.
You see, that would matter to me, but it's kind of like Nostradamus. Like, everybody talks about what Nostradamus got
no,
right.
No, it's definitely a broken
what
clock.
What about the 4 billion things they got wrong?
No, it's definitely... I mean, she's a broken clock. Is right twice a day, but...
Yeah, I'll never be impressed by her.
Sarah Palin?
No.
I like
her,
though.
She can make moose balls. She can kill a moose and make meatballs out
when
of it.
I remember I didn't ever think she was like fit to hold office, but I did like her for like the first 3 days. I'm guilty of that. I did like her. I was one of the people. Mm. I didn't think she was qualified. Like, we used to laugh about it. When Jenny was pregnant, me, Dean, and Jenny used to, it was that election. So we were watching that 08 election all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me that was like what they called it, a game change.
Yeah.
And for 3 days, I was into it.
Well,
and
it's like, you know what she is? She's that pretty girl who walks by and you're like, damn, look at that. And then when you look up from her rear end to her eye, you go, oh, man, look at those eyebrows. Jeez.
that is
some bushy
to
eyebrow
take it,
action.
To take it back to strip club, okay, as a politician, she was the stripper before they turned the lights on.
Yep.
She was very attractive at first because you were in a dark strip club.
Right.
Every girl is attractive to girls, girls, girls. If you're allowed to smoke cigars and girls, 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 you're probably into it.
Then you see the craggly skin.
Oh, do you ever see when the lights go on at a strip club, Pat Dixon?
So
not good. And we're talking strip clubs. You want to know why? Because flash dancers, I'm involved in a Twitter exchange with flash dancers. I was posting a video of one of my sets, and I said it's not safe for work unless you work at Flash Dancers. And they just tweeted me back, we loved it. We thought it was great. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. So I just wrote back to them that you were my first strip club. You never forget your first. Flash Dancers was my first strip club.
Mm-hmm. Was it really?
I went to Flash Dancers after this. We don't have enough time left in the show. After Miami Mike drove a Ferrari into the Atlantic Ocean. And I went to a strip club like 2 days later and found him there. That's a to be continued for another show.
That's a real
but
cliffhanger.
But Flash Dancers was my first. Yeah, how did the Ferrari... get in the Atlantic Ocean. You want to know.
90 seconds.
You'll tune in on Thursday. Big fat special thank you to Pat Dixon.
Lucky we got him.
Listen to the New York City Crime Report on Cave Comedy Radio. Follow
Pat
him
Dixon,
on Twitter.
NYC, that's right.
Pat Dixon.
NYC.
A huge shout out to Katie Dolan. Voltron got back the other paw today. We were a full Voltron today for the first time in a while, and it felt nice.
Yeah, it felt good.
I'd sing Reunited and It Feels So Good by The Captain and Tennille, except I see it as a disingenuous song because
Since
they're suing each other
up,
in court.
It's
yeah.
the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah. You can't get into it. Ken Wood doing a bang-up job as well, and of course you, the listener, for sticking with us through thick and thin. Mostly thin, right? We do a lot of thick on this show. Not since I got married. We were doing a lot of thick in my late 20s, though. You know who you are.
Oh, yeah.
The show's over. Log on to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Pre-order my new book, Follow That Car. Listen to the New York City Crime Report. And that's it. It's over. Thanks for listening. This is the best we can do. Take you out, but keep playing just the same. You know Daniel's up to bat first.
A fastball, but he hit it 10 seconds. Yes, you know Job is up to bat next. Satan struck him in every way, but Job hit a home run and he came on in that day. Yes, you know prayer is our strong bet to hear that Satan's ball. Your all in all. Yes, you know, face gone.
I enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience.